You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is The Air Up There by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
It amazes me the people, since we're talking about volunteering today, the people won't volunteer in church because you're so busy working on whatever you want to work on to go somewhere and not realizing that serving here helps you there. I listened to Kevin Felder back there when we were coming to church this morning, and I heard a radio ad that he was working on. That was his voice. Some of you would not know his voice. And I said, hear that? I said, but he started that with us. Somebody else now has a business doing voiceover. And they started that by serving in church. At least three people. And a lot of them, I just heard them and said, let's use their voice for our radio broadcast. And they go, well, I'm called to, my voice is supposed to go to the nations. Not realizing, come on, now y'all laughing, but people don't get this. And what you make happen for somebody else, God will make happen for you. Everything that's big started small. There are people today who would not go preach at a storefront church. I started that. I would not be standing here today if I wasn't faithful in the storefront churches. I perfected my teaching gift by teaching Sunday school. I perfected my teaching gift by teaching on Wednesday night to 10 people. I perfected my teaching gift by when I went to Maine at the Amy Zion Church. Y'all know a traditional church, they really don't come out on Wednesday night. They're like, does anybody come to that? You know, they think it's just a bunch of old ladies, maybe white dresses on or something. Who actually comes out on Wednesday? And some of y'all don't know. Some of y'all think that's here. Okay? What we get right here, right now, sometimes this is just a regular crowd on Wednesday night. 300-400 people, sometimes 500 people come out here just on Wednesday night. I know y'all thinking people don't come. No, you don't come. So I started teaching on Wednesday night. To three people and five people. Then it got around. Then 10 people and 20 people and 30 people. Because it got around that I was an anointed teacher. But everything big starts small. Despise not the day of small beginning. If you want to go to your next, be faithful in your now. Maximize your now. Do the best you can with your now. Prepare for your now like it was your next. Did you hear what I said? I said, prepare for your now like it was your next. Whenever you hear people say, well, it's only a couple of people, then they're despising. Luke 19, verse 17. And he said, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. He said, because you've been faithful at this level, I'm going to give you 10 cities. In the context, this is the political arena. People say experience don't mean anything. Ask that again. Okay? You don't need experience. Mm-hmm. How's that working out in the White House? How's that working out? Experience don't mean everything, but it means something. So he says, if you've been faithful in little, then I'll give you authority over 10 cities. How are you going to get authority over 10 cities? You won't even be faithful in the little. Can I tell you? This is encouraging somebody. Some y'all who despise being there in the nursery, can I tell you, wiping those babies behinds counts in the kingdom of God. Those of you who just standing there watching while the children go to the bathroom to just make sure it's a safe environment for them, can I tell you, being a whole mama in children's church, it counts in the kingdom of God. Those of you who in between services here go into our bathroom to make sure that they're tidy and maybe brush up here and vacuum there when nobody else sees you. Can I tell you, it counts in the kingdom of God. Those of who work in our meeting ministry who they never see, in our duplication ministry, all they do is they just duplicate a CD for you. Can I tell you, it counts in the kingdom of God. There's nothing you do in the kingdom of God that does not count. So to prepare for your next, learn to be faithful in your now. And then you got to count up the cost to assess whether or not you have the capacity for what's required at the next level. I had made a note here. I didn't see it, but it just came back to me. When I started in the insurance industry as a claims adjuster, they would tell you, they said, now, after 2 to 3 years, you need to determine which track you're going to go. And the track was either, Sister Joyce, the track, you know, was either the, bring out all her bit. Okay, the track was either the supervisory managerial track, or it was what we call the technical track. Okay, now you can make the same money, just different responsibility. Now the managerial supervisory track, which track that I ended up taking, after 2 to 3 years, you have the option to apply for supervisor or manager, and then you went up the ranks and then the technical track, you went from a claim rep to a senior claim rep to a claim technical representative to a claim technical specialist in the home office in Philadelphia. Okay? And you could be making the same money, different responsibilities. And there were some people who they were real good at what they did, and they were real, but they didn't want to have to supervise anybody else. You understand that? And so you were, they told you, now assess which track you want. Can I tell y'all, some of y'all are on the wrong track. Because you got to assess, do you have what it takes? Now watch it. I can't stand people and tell me you call the ministry. Ministry's about people. Heard someone say that some people like crowds and hate people. Think about that. Like crowds, but hate people. Who makes up the crowds? People. People are individuals. All of us got a story. All of us got habits, good and bad. All of us have idiosyncrasies. All of us got things that we're really good at and things that still need to be perfected. All of us got some fruit of the Spirit that we're highly developed in, and some of us got some rotten fruit. Amen. And so you need to know yourself and assess whether you have the capacity for what's required on the track that you say you on or want to be, or even that God's called you to. And sometimes you may need to be around somebody to help you know what's necessary for that crowd, for that track. What I'm saying to you, liking crowds and not liking people, is something my former pastor challenged me about at the time, before I started, I was assistant pastor. He said, you like crowds. You don't seem like you like people. He said, the only way God can bless you as a pastor, you have to love people. I'll never forget this. He told me, and he said to me, he said, people will forgive you for not being a good preacher. People will forgive you for preaching a message that didn't move them. He said, people will not forgive you for not loving them. Not loving people. So it challenged me to make some changes in my personality. Oh, everybody say changes in your personality. Because most of us, we accept the fact that it's just the way I am. It's just the way I am. Everybody in my family like this, we all mean. Well, where's the love of God in that? I think my last tweet, I tweeted that because, you know, when I have a thought that I think is profound. My last tweet made me, I'm thinking about something. Can't remember what it was. Let me see. Next to last tweet. one day ago. God didn't save you to live the same life that you would have lived without him. God did not save you to live the same life that you would have lived without him. So you was mean before you got saved, and you still mean after you got saved. So what did the blood do for you? You cussed all the time before you got saved, and now it seems like you got a cussing anointing. What did your relationship with Jesus do for you? And don't come telling me this stuff about God knows my heart. John 8:30, put that up. 8:30 or 8:32, somewhere right there. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:31. If you continue in my word, then you my disciples what? Indeed. Indeed sound like doing something. Not in your heart. If you continue in my word, then you will really Christians in your heart. No, indeed. Indeed means that the deeds start lining up with the word. But you got to continue in the word. Can I tell you, the word should change your behavior. So let me go back to this thing about your personality. So now, when I go to Galatians 5 and I see what the fruit of the Spirit is, the fruit of the Spirit is simply characteristics of the Christian's personality. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, temperance. That's what I'm supposed to look like. And when I see the characteristics of the Christian personality based upon the fruit of the Spirit being developed in my life, I need to say, if I don't look like that, I need to change my personality with the help of the Holy Spirit to act like that and to look like that. I need to have some joy. You say, but you have no joy. Nothing ever make you happy. You wake up sad. You go to bed sad or mad or aggravated. Good morning. What's good about it? Really? And I ain't talking about having a bad day. People have a bad, some of y'all just got a bad life. Ugh. Mr. Scrooge. That's that nasty. That's not supposed to be our personality. So when I look in the word, which the Bible says, I look in the mirror of his word and I see how I'm supposed to be and I see how I am. I need to make adjustments with the help of the Holy Spirit to say, God, help me to be more loving. Help me to be more patient. Help me to be more kind. Oh, him in the church said, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Fine in my heart, but let it show up in my life. Everybody say, indeed. Indeed. If you continue my word, you're my disciples. Indeed. So sometimes you say you're called to this, you're called to that, you call to supervise people, you call to manage people, but you can't get along with anybody. Who's going to work for you? Who's going to work with you? You won't stick to anything. Who's going to give you responsibility that you've got to show up for? I heard Bishop Jake say something one time. He said, if I give it to you, you ought to take it and do something with it and make it better. Don't hand it back to me the same way I gave it to you. Remember the talents? Story of the talents? Matthew 25, to one he gave two, to one, one to gave, one he gave two, to one he gave five, and he gave them to him. He wants them to do something with it. Be productive, be fruitful, be multiplied, produce, do something with it. I'm giving you something to start with, make it better. Can't give it to you, and then got to watch what you're going to do with it all the time. I tell you, the whole idea of having to watch people do the job they know they're supposed to do is insane to me. The whole idea to have to call people to show up for what you said you're going to show up for when you got hired or took this position is insane to me. So you signed up to do this. Now I got to ask you if you're going to show up and do it. Does that make sense, y'all? I'm not fussing. I'm trying to make us think. Okay? I'm really trying to make us think. Do you have the capacity for where you say you're going? And what internal assessments do you need to make? And what changes do you need to make through the help of the Holy Spirit? And I keep adding that because the scripture says he works in us. Philippians 13, he works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If it's his will to do it, then God, you got to work in me. 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 Well, I know you didn't plan on having these kids, but you're a mother now. You wasn't planning on having these kids this soon, but you're a mother now. God, work in me. Give me the love of a mother. Help me to be nurturing. God, I wasn't planning on having these kids, but and I was barely taking care of myself, but I got these kids now. So I thank you, Father. You will be a father to the fatherless, and you'll be a father to those who don't even know how to be a father. And I call in all the money I need to be the kind of father you want me to be. Work in me. Work in me. Work in me to do what you want me to do since I'm in this position. I asked somebody one time, how do you pray for yourself? When I say how do you pray for yourself, I mean specifically, what do you pray for yourself? You can sit around complaining what you don't have, what you can't do, or you can start praying for yourself. God, I ask in the name of Jesus that you help me be the husband I need to be to Marcia. Father, I thank you that you helped me to be watching. Because even though I have children who are no longer living in my home, I'm still a father to adult children, which is a whole nother realm. So now I want to stay involved in their life without being intrusive in their life. So now I got to have a kind of relationship with them that they want to come to me, that they want to talk to me, that they want for me to come, that they want to get counsel from me. And I can't be alienating them. So it takes more wisdom as a parent of grown children outside of my house to have the right relationship than it did when they were little kids in the house. Because they wasn't when they were little kids in the house. Yes, sit down. Can't do that. I can't do it that way anymore. So as you go on levels, you got to change. Everybody said, Lord, help me to change. Because see, some of you, if you don't change, you're going to be stuck at this level. Assess whether you have the capacity for what's required at the next level. Luke 14, verse 26. So Jesus says, even regarding getting involved with him and connecting with him, Jesus said, if any man come to me, hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and brethren and sisters, yea, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. You know what Jesus is saying here? He said, I got to become the most important person in your life. Watch this. And then he challenged them. He said, I got to become more important to you than you are to you. So certain things I say, I got to get to the place in my walk with God, especially when you're called of God. This ain't about what I want. It's about what he wants from me. It ain't about what I want to do. It's about what he wants to do through me. It's not about where I want to live. He determines the bounds of my habitation. Jesus said, you can't love anybody, including yourself, more than you love me. Now, can I tell you, we don't hear this anymore. Because everybody today, we get saved based upon what Jesus is going to do for us. And can I tell you, everything in the Word, everything from Genesis to Revelation, is based upon reciprocity. Reciprocity means because I do, you do. I give, expect something back. Yeah, and God starts the giving. God is love. Love gives. For God so loved the world that he gave. And so watch this. So now under extreme grace abusers, everybody talking about, but God loves me. I know he don't mean he don't love me. He loved me. Don't matter what I do. He loved me. God loved me. Do you know he loved me? I'm God's favorite child. He loved me. Ain't no question, does God love you? How about returning some of that love? How much do you love him? Ain't no question whether he loves you. Do you love him enough to change? Do you love him enough to submit yourself to him? Do you love him enough to present your bodies to him as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable? Now, I'm telling you, we don't hear this anymore. Because, and then I personally have a real dilemma, because I'm somebody who God has made rich. I'm somebody who live above average, drive above average, blah, 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 on and on. And at the same time, I teach you, labor not to be rich, and seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things be added to you. And some of y'all get it mixed up. Well, but you need to understand. I never saw any of it. Heard somebody preach this years ago, and I was sharing with Pastor Marshall this week. Prosperity is not an entitlement. Prosperity is a reward for obedience. If you obey and serve him, you spend your days in pleasure and your years in prosperity. If you obey and serve him, all God got to do is make sure you eat something every day. Don't have to be steak. Are you hearing me here? God was taking care. He was the same God. He was taking care of them in the wilderness, was he not? Every day. Gave them manna. Quails falling out the sky. They would get thirsty. And then water come out of rock. And they had to live like that for 40 years. And God was still a good God. He was still taking care of them. And when Moses reminds them how good God been to him, he said, don't forget, he gave you that manna every day. Don't forget, he didn't cause your feet to swell. Don't forget that he gave you water out of a rock. But then God brought them to another level. In Deuteronomy 8, he said, now I'm going to take you beyond the water from the rock. I'm going to take you beyond manna from heaven. I'm going to take you out beyond quails falling out. I'm bringing you to a good land that's floweth with milk and honey. Are y'all listening to me? He said, you're going to eat good and plenty. You're going to have more than enough. The same God. And so if you want to go to another level, even your prosperity, the issue is, are you willing to do what's necessary to get to that level? Luke 14, verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Anybody say my cross? Now, we ain't talking about Jesus' cross. There's going to be some sacrifice. The sacrifice to fulfill whatever calling God has in your life is sacrifice. Let me go a little deeper.
Many of us want to go to the next level. The question is, are we able to withstand the air at the next level? Dr. Herbert Bailey explains that going higher in your purpose may require you to breathe a little differently. Order this powerful message today. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for The Air Up There.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praise reports at rightdirection.info, or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.